Joining us now, he's the head golf professional out at Conway Farms, hosting the BMW Championship in the FedEx Cup playoffs. Andrew Adamczyk joins us. Andrew, welcome into the golf shop.
Hey, thanks, guys. Good morning.
So, you know, you guys prepped out there, ready to rock and roll. How's everything going?
Everything is good. We're really just sort of waiting for the week to start. First couple guys showed up yesterday, I think, unfortunately, due to some of the weather going on down south. But it was nice to have some of the guys show up and get on the golf course and hear what they had to say. And I know Connor Healy, our green superintendent, and his staff, I'm talking with him and playing the golf course last week. Golf course is perfect, and we're ready for a good week.
Yeah, I mean, this is the 10th time that the BMW Championship is the third event in the FedEx Cup playoffs, but the BMW Championship is actually, what, the second oldest tournament after the U.S. Open? I mean, the event sort of more or less can be traced back to, I think, 1899.
Yeah, I mean, back when it was the Western Open.
And, yeah.
And, I mean, I remember going to it when I was a kid, and it's certainly something we're proud to have here at the club.
Well, and last year it was at Crooked Stick, so you guys, I mean, you guys are picking this event up at Conway Farms. And it's, you know, obviously 70 players. It's a big playoff event. It's all that. Is there any added pressure in having you know, a first year, you know, picking the event back up and it being such a major event for the tournament, for the tour?
I mean, I think maybe back in 2013 there was some more pressure, you know, knowing that we'd never done it before.
Right.
But, I mean, this is our third time, and with the weather we've had this summer and this past winter, the golf course is great. And we're just really excited to have everybody here again. We're excited for a good week of weather. We're hoping for no rain. The last two times we've hosted it, we've had some pretty major rainstorms, so we're hoping that will stay away. But no, I think we're all just excited, and I know the membership is excited to showcase their golf course, and you know, we're here to be a good host.
Yeah, in the 2 years since you last hosted, have there been any changes to the golf course? Any surfaces we need to talk about? Things that maybe trees, or that we will, maybe a notable absence or the presence of something new?
Not too much. You know, back in 2015, we were coming out of a pretty major, you know, golf course change. You know, we had new greens put in 2014, some major course changes, trees being cut back, some added runoff areas. You know, there hasn't really been anything going on. A couple weeks ago, unfortunately, there was a tree that wasn't really in play, but sort of certainly a sight line on 18 that was blown over. But other than that, the golf course is great. We're super excited and ready to hear what the players have to say again.
Yeah, for people that may not be as familiar with Conway Farms, you know, as we come down the stretch in the back nine in this golf tournament, kind of talk about the back nine and the holes that could be pivotal, whether it's an easier hole that guys need to go ahead and make birdie on, or they're losing some ground to the field, or holes that might jump up and bite you if you're not hitting the ball as great as you want to be.
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, I'm just going to start with number 11. It's the shortest par 3 on the golf course. It's a pretty narrow green. You know, depending on how they have the tees and the wind, can play kind of from a 160 to 180, maybe even a little shorter if they wanted to see some more birdies. But you still, no matter how short it is, you have to get a really good shot there. And you know, there was a number of guys that you know, made birdies, but also a number of guys that made double. And it's sort of one of those holes that at times gets overlooked, but it can be quite challenging. And then, you know, 12 and 13, you really just got to make a par. And then, you know, 14, 15, you can really make some birdies and potentially some eagles. The 14th hole is played the easiest. The last two times we've had the event, it's a relatively reachable par 5. And then 15 is, you know, depending on the wind, a reachable par 4 off the tee for some of the longer hitters.
Well, Andrew, if you weren't busy working and could kick back with a cold frosty, where would we find you watching this event?
You know, early in the week, it would be on the front nine.
Okay.
You know, I think there's not as many of the grandstands. You can practice rounds. I've been telling everybody to go watch them play 4, 5, and 6. They're the hardest three holes on the golf course, in my opinion. There's not too many crowds. It's a good way to sort of watch them play. But on Sunday, I'd love to watch them come up 16. It's my favorite hole on the golf course, and it's a really good hole. The green's very challenging, and there's just some great views kind of looking across the back nine from up on the hill on 16.
Yeah, and you mentioned 15 is, you know, on the card, it's 334 yards. If they move the tees up a little bit, make it drivable, you know, what's the risk reward on this? Is there a bailout spot? You know, we got water left. Is there a bailout spot right? Is if you bail out in the wrong spot, does it bring bogey into play? Kind of talk about a risk reward hole there.
Yeah, so it's a really unique green, kind of double tiered, and some pretty Scottish style sod wall bunkers on the right side with a, you know, a bent grass runoff area. So There is a little bit of room to bail out, right? With the pin up front, you'll see a lot more guys go for it than if the pin's in back. You know, if the pin's in front, you can sort of bang it into the little runoff area and you have a relatively easy pitch. But if you have to pitch across the sidewall bunker into the back of the green, you know, all the green runs away from you, and the rough around the greens is just treacherous. So you don't really want to challenge that too much if the pin's in the back. So I would say if it's slightly down breeze in the pin up front, you'll see a lot of guys go for it. I don't see why they wouldn't.
Yeah, is this a hole where maybe the guys take a statistical approach to this and say, you know, what are the odds of me making birdie more often than not if I take a run at it versus maybe hitting an iron off the tee and laying up to a good wedge yardage and be able to fire right at the pin? I mean, is that something that comes into consideration? Because we always hear, you know, announcers and color guys are talking about on TV, you know, well, you have to kind of analyze it and say, am I getting an advantage by going for this green, or do I rely on my wedge play? Do you see guys doing that, or you just take a rip at it?
You know, I think a little bit. Again, it's very weather dependent. When the wind blows here, the golf course changes dramatically, just like, you know, most courses. But you know, with a north wind, you won't see anybody hit driver or three wood. It'll all be, you know, 3 and 4 irons, just placing a shot in the fairway so they can hit a wedge or try and hit a wedge close. But if the wind's laid down, these guys drive it so straight and they pitch it so good, it makes no sense for them to not go for it when the wind isn't up. It gives them such an easier opportunity.
Well, we're excited to be talking to Andrew Adamczyk, the head golf professional up at Conway Farms Golf Club, hosting the 2017 BMW Championship. You know, the last time you guys hosted, Jason Day was the winner. But I'm looking at this, and you've got a great field. It's 70. It's limited. It's, you know, some would say because it's a playoff, you've got the 70 best players. You probably have 70 of the 80 best players. Truthfully, amazing field. What kind of player does this golf course suit? Are we looking for bombers? Are we looking for guys who can keep it low because it might be windy? What are we talking about? Our listeners here in the Carolinas may or may not be that familiar with the course.
Sure. So, you know, and the two winners that we've had have been quite different. You know, Zach Johnson won in 2013, and that year Jim Furyk shot 59. So two shorter hitters that played really well. And then in 2015, Jason Day, obviously one of the longer hitters. So, you know, one thing that you could say is they had great weeks on the greens. They made tons of putts, but more importantly, they drove it in the fairway. You know, these guys all hit it so long, so even the shorter hitters really won't, you know, it's firm and fast here. They're getting a lot of roll. If they can keep it in the fairway, they'll have lots of birdie opportunities. So, and you look at the, you know, who's won the last couple weeks or who's been in contention, you know, it's hard to bet against Dustin and Jordan and Ricky and Justin Thomas being at the top. But, you know, Zach was here yesterday playing and he felt good about his game. So, I would say you kind of have to go with the who's been playing well lately, but anyone who drives it really straight is going to have a great week here.
And what about a score? If you're not in the last group and you get in it, what score would you get in at that maybe you'd be willing to knock back a few beers, some Jägermeister, whatever, and feel comfortable?
You know, so in 2015, Jason Day was 22 under. I don't see it getting that far under par. Depending if the weather stays how it is, it won't be as wet, and certainly it will be a little breezier and firm and fast. So I would say closer to, you know, 15, 16 under. I think if you get there, you're certainly very much in the mix. The second and third place in 15 was right there. Jason Day just, you know, he went crazy in 2015. So I would say anywhere around that 14, 15, 16 number, I think you'll be right in it for sure coming down the stretch.
So get to 20 and it's tequila shots.
Yeah, I would say so.
All right.
And you know, you guys have a unique layout with the FedEx Cup is that there's 70 guys in the field, so everybody's going to make the cut. When we start talking about the weekend, and, you know, traditionally you have a cut in a tournament, and you always say that, you know, somebody that just makes the cut on the number has to have a miraculous run to have a chance to win the golf tournament. How far back can somebody realistically be on this golf course? I mean, we've seen it before, but we haven't seen it in a while. We've seen 59s. We've seen 60s, 61s. We haven't seen a really low number in the last maybe couple of months. You know, is that number out there, and how far back realistically could somebody be and make a run coming through the weekend?
You know, I would, I think, you know, the playing the golf course last week and talking with Connor, our superintendent, and, you know, watching the rough grow and some of the wind that it's projected, I don't see being anything outside of five or six. If you're four, five, six back, I think you're going to have to shoot a really low number. And I just don't see, a 59, 60 out there. Watching Jim Furyk shoot 59 was incredible. It was super hard day, and the wind was blowing. And, I mean, he played fantastic, and he had a three putt. So I still don't see how he did that. I don't really see that again, but I think if you're, more than four or five back, you're going to have to do something pretty spectacular. These guys are so good, and if you've watched the playoffs the last couple of weeks, I mean, it's been like a shootout. It's hard to make up ground.
Yeah, I mean, Andrew, it's interesting. I mean, we have limited field events, and we have no-cut events, and we have invitationals, and we have events like this. Do the players approach it any differently because they're approaching it as a four-day event as opposed to potentially a two-day event? And on this golf course, are they aware of where they need to be and where they can score and maybe just, on some of these holes the par is going to be good enough and let's just move on because they get to stick around for all four rounds?
Well, I think so. And then also, I mean, these guys are really trying to just move into the top 30. I mean, a win here would be great and certainly, gives them an opportunity to win the FedEx Cup. But, the guys that are on the bubble, they really just want to make it to the next event. There's a lot of money on the line. They're trying to survive. So I think that definitely plays into some of their strategy.
Do all of the scoreboards then have that 30? The guys that are hovering around 28 to 32?
Towards the end of the week.
Okay.
Listening to how some of the guys approach it, it's like they know where they are to start the day. They kind of have an idea of what they have to do. And then there's so many, changes throughout, each hole even. So I think some of them just try to, have a number that they try to shoot and go out and try to do it and kind of let the rest take care of itself.
All right. So the question I always like to ask is, after the tournament's over, when do the members go get to play, and do you guys leave the course set up the same for that one day for these guys to go out and then say, okay, you want to see how good the tour players are? Have at it, boys and girls, for that matter.
We keep it pretty close. Generally, we're a busy place here, and the members are certainly going to be anxious to get back on the golf course, and we can't blame them. It's in perfect shape, but they get to come back on Wednesday. We take Tuesday and the morning, until 10 o'clock on Wednesday to sort of get some of the construction out of here, and it's more of a safety hazard than anything, and then as soon as it's a little safer to be around property and we can get members to the first tee, we definitely let them have at it. And the pins are very similar to what they will be on Sunday. And, I think everybody enjoys that.
Andrew, I'm sure you think your membership is very special up there in Lake Forest. But I'm wondering, when you get your members coming out for lessons, are they doing the same thing they seem to be doing everywhere else? They just want 10 or 15 more yards on their drive and just not spending enough time on their short game?
I would agree, and I mean, everyone I do teach, I've told them if they're coming out to, especially early, to watch them on the range. You can learn so much from how a tour pro prepares and how they warm up and their routine. And it's not necessarily about how many balls you hit; it's just about how long you take to hit those balls and how much you focus on it. And you watch these guys; they have a routine every round. They'll get to the warm up tent to kind of stretch out, and they'll go hit some putts and chips. They'll hit balls, and then back to the putting green. We all talk about it. We all, say we should do more of it, but only those guys are the ones that do it, and they're the ones that play on Sundays. So
have you found a successful approach to those members to get them to spend 70% of their time on short game?
A little bit. I think you always want to talk about it, and we're so, lucky here. We have just unbelievable practice facilities, I would say. In the afternoons, there's more people on the driving range and short game area than there are on the golf course, so I think a lot of our membership takes advantage of that, and we have a 160 single digit handicap. So certainly they put the time in on the short game when they need to, and I think when you watch these guys, they, especially the following weeks after, they definitely spend a little more time on that.
Doesn't it always tempt you to like close the range down and say, okay, short irons only? I mean, just to force people the scoring clubs.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like you said, I think people fail to realize, and they'll see it when they go watch these guys warm up, how important 100 yards and in becomes to these guys. Because these guys know that they're going to have a lot of shots, whether they've hit, a 320-yard drive that's, 20 yards deep into the trees and they got to punch out, but they're punching out to 100 yards. And they know how important that 100 yards is. They know that 100-yard and in shot can, number one, allow them to hit it close to make a birdie, but it also allows them to hit it close and save that par maybe at a pivotal point in their round. So
totally.
It just seems like that we, just go to the range with like a wedge and a 9-iron and go warm up one day, right?
Oh, totally. And, you know, I always tell people, and if you've been struggling on your game, you got to get back to some of the feel that you've had and, you know, go out and play and hit shots and don't, you know, try not to have too many swing thoughts. You know, your goal, and if you have 100 yards, try not to hit it to a foot. Try to say, okay, I just want to get a look. And it stops to, you know, add so much pressure. You're not, you know, forcing yourself, and be realistic about your expectations. I mean, these guys don't hit it to 10 feet every time.
Yeah, so
and they practice a lot more than we do. So I think, you know, being realistic of, you know, what your expectations are, but then also sort of, you know, I just have to give myself an opportunity. And golfers as a whole are so, you know, athletic with their hand-eye coordination, and you just have to tap into that and let that take care of itself.
Well, Andrew, man, we hope that you have a great weekend, a weekend out there, and we look forward to watching on TV. Have fun, man.
Hey, Mike, Mark, thank you very much for having me on, and appreciate your guys' support.